And the New Testament lesson for this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put it out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners to the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at all the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I do want to thank you for inviting me to be part of this weekend, this special weekend for Linus. We talked a lot about calling yesterday. We're going to talk a little bit more about calling this morning. Calling. What comes to mind when you hear that word? "Ding dong, Avon is calling" was the slogan of the cosmetic industry for years. "Calling car 54, where are you?" Yeah, some of you might remember that. We sometimes think, "Oh no, another telemarketer calling." Those of you in sales talk about cold calling, younger folks have heard teachers say, "I am calling on you." Children have heard, "Go, your mother is calling you." We now have call waiting and call forwarding. Today, some of us dread getting a call because we are worried about who might be calling. A scammer. Someone with bad news. Notification of an unpaid bill or lost funds, or a request for more of our precious time and resources. Some of us anguish over when is the right time to be calling someone. Will I wake a sleeping baby? It might be nap time. Maybe the person is at work. I don't want to interrupt the family dinner. In the Christian community, we talk about finding one's call. Receiving a call, discerning a call, being called to discipleship, or responding to one's calling. We often see this as related to a very, very specific vocation. Vocation itself comes from the Latin vocatio, meaning calling. As a result, many have begun to think of a calling as a career or a job. with very special training and much permanency. Once called to be a nurse, always called to be a nurse. Once called to be a pastor, always a pastor. You find your niche, you stay there. If we discern the calling accurately and follow it, we will be happy for the rest of our lives. Right? Well, we start to get those itches. We start to get some doubts. We broaden our minds. We have new experiences. And then we start to wonder if God is calling us to something else. Is there something else we should be doing? Some may even say, I am no longer called to this particular ministry. There's something else I should be doing for God. Possibly there is a difference between called and calling. Possibly the called have many, 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 many callings in their lives. Martin Luther talked about two callings. First, a spiritual or general calling, which we share with other Christians. We are called people. And second, an external or particular calling unique to each of the called and unique to the time of that calling. As we look at the Old Testament, New Testament scriptures reading this morning, one needs to note that there are other people around in both stories. Isaiah is in the temple. There were most likely other worshipers around, others praying, others offering sacrifices. But God called Isaiah out from the worshiping group. In the Luke passage, there were crowds all along the shoreline listening to this Jesus teacher, and most likely many other fishermen besides Peter were there mending their nets. But Jesus spoke to Simon Peter. God had a plan as to who would be called as prophet. Jesus already knew to which fisherman he would speak. So Isaiah and Peter, through divine plan, were called even before they received a calling. We too have been called before we realize it. We are already called by God through what John Calvin refers to as election. Calvin wrote, "But if we have been chosen in him, we shall not find assurance of our election in ourselves. If we have communion with Christ, we are written in the book of life." Our salvation rests not on us working out our calling, but on God having called us. Our salvation rests on that truth. God has called us to be God's own people, and God has created, through Jesus Christ, a way for us to be his. Therefore, we need not dread being called. We can rest in the fact that we already have been called to salvation. Being called is a blessing and a gift from God, which has previously taken place. The first call Luther spoke of has already been made. It's been made for us. We are a called people. What then does it mean when someone says they have had an experience in which God called them? I might suggest that these experiences are the point at which an individual realizes the truth in Calvin's thoughts on election. These may be mountaintop experiences, quiet personal experiences. For Isaiah, a visionary experience. For Peter, a conversation with Jesus. And if we remember our Sunday school lessons, for Paul, it was a blinding light. And then Those moments may also come at any age, as we remember young Samuel being guided by Eli to recognize God speaking to him. I once had shared with my confirmation class my experience being confirmed some 54 years ago. In kneeling, receiving a blessing, and being prayed over, there was an overwhelming feeling of God's presence, a physical warming, which I can still feel today when I think of that event. In that moment, I realized what God had done for me, and I needed to respond with my life. But I did not know at that time what the calling was. If my husband were here, he would have related an experience with tears in his eyes of how, following a youth fellowship meeting, four friends and he gathered in the balcony of a church sanctuary, prayed together and committed their lives to full-time ministry because of what they had experienced that night. While they all took very different journeys, they all followed through with their promises that they had made with one another and with God. Neither one of us knew where this feeling and this calling would take us, where these particular moments would lead to. Nor did we know exactly what God would ask us to do. I also doubt Isaiah and Peter knew what it would mean for them either. What are the moments when you recognize the gift of being called to salvation by God? Accepting that God has already called us moves us to our calling. Our desire is to respond to this gift from a loving God by living a life reflective of that gift. Peter had ended the night fishing and was putting away nets. The work time had come to an end. He had tried everywhere and no fish were to be found. But open to Jesus' suggestion, cast your nets over there. Peter tries. Peter is open to new ideas. You know, how many times had people seen an apple fall before Isaac Newton viewed it differently? How many times did people see steam come out of a tea kettle before James Watt saw a new use for that power? How many times did people pass the destitute on the streets of Calcutta before Mother Teresa saw a way to help? Jesus gave Peter a new way of viewing the everyday. Calling allows us to see our daily lives through Christ's eyes, resulting in new possibilities. Peter was exhausted, mending nets and putting things away for the night. He probably was thinking of quietly relaxing on the shore and listening to this preacher, Jesus, and then going home to a meal and some sleep. But when asked by Jesus, Peter goes the extra mile. Tired as he was, he hauls the nets back into the boat and sails out to the place Jesus had designated as a good fishing spot. And Peter tries. See, calling requires a spirit of making the extra effort, and at times it may not be easy. Both Peter and Isaiah's response to being called is to say, I'm a sinner. I am not worthy. But then they move on to carry out their calling. Yes, we need to take time to review our skills, our weaknesses, and our worthiness for the task. We then accept that we have been called to salvation, and like Peter, get up and go, trusting that Jesus will guide. Calvin states, it will also be no small alleviation of his cares, labors, troubles, and other burdens when a man knows that in all these things he has God for his guide. Calling leads us to self-reflection and trust in divine guidance. When Peter lets down the nets where Jesus tells him to, the unexpected occurs. A miracle. The nets are filled with fish. Then Jesus says something even more miraculous. You will become fishers of men. You will be catching men. People. When the Greek is examined, it is not like the fly fishing or rod and reel fishing that is so familiar to us. That fishing that lures and hooks people and drags them in. The Greek word is zogron. And it means to catch alive or catch to life. Peter fished with nets. These fishermen are to fish for people with nets of love and care, lifting them out of the depths of sin to spiritual life. Calling results in the unexpected. Peter's initial calling was to follow Jesus and learn from him. Over time, that calling changes. Peter is asked to give testimony when Jesus asks, "Who do you say that I am?" Later, Jesus commands these disciples to go teach and baptize. After Jesus' death, Peter becomes an early church administrator, if you will. While being called remains the same, Peter's calling shifts from learner to witness to teacher to church leadership. Little did that tired fisherman on the shore of the Sea of Galilee know where being called would take him. The calling is being fishers of people. At different times in our lives, that calling is carried out in different ways. What form has your calling taken over your life's years? Learner, teacher, parent, contractor, companion, leader, follower, prophet, elder, deacon, plumber. What other callings come to mind? All of them are worthy callings when done in response to having been called by God. Our calling is not static. It changes as we grow in faith and as the needs of Christ's body changes. To this point, I have addressed individual calling. While Christians are individuals, we also are knit together in a miraculous way through the love of the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Having been called individually and corporately as the body of Christ through God's election, our salvation is assured. We can rest in that knowledge. The work we need to do is to discern how we live it out. How do we live out having been called? I wonder what our individual callings are right now. I wonder how these individual callings fit together to create a functioning body of Christ. I wonder, once we fit all those individual callings together, what the collective calling will be. As we attempt to answer these questions, remember that a calling in response to being called by God will occur in our daily lives, will open up new possibilities, will change over time, will require effort and work, will trust God to guide and provide, and will result in the unexpected. No matter where your calling takes you, no matter where our calling takes us, may we remember we are called to be fishers of people, catching them up with the loving message of salvation and eternal life. Amen.